Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. It's my honor and pleasure to do so. We're going to be talking about a number of items this last half of the segment until the bottom half of the hour. And just a little bit about myself. I'm from the Panhandle in Florida, Pensacola area, small business owner. I've owned an insurance and financial services agency for 31 years now. Prior to that, I was a captain in the Air Force for 10 years after graduating from the Air Force Academy, and I'm a former member of the Florida State House. I served for 5 terms in the Florida State House representing District 1 and District 2 in the Florida Panhandle. So before our break, we were talking about the case before the Supreme Court, the abortion case, and let's hope and pray that they will rule or make a decision in the right direction. Right direction meaning affirming life, that life in the womb has intrinsic value and should be protected according to our Constitution and according to God's law itself, who says, "Thou shalt not murder." We should make sure that any of our human laws must line up with God's laws in order to be valid. Okay, we're going to talk about how so many parents are beginning to homeschool. But before we do that, I want to read you this little article, again, which just shows the insanity coming from the Biden administration. And this is from NBC News. It says, the Biden administration is expected to extend the public transit mask mandate through mid-March. In other words, if you're going to travel on buses, trains, and planes, you have to wear a mask because it's been decreed, dictated by the Biden regime, which, by the way, is not a law. Even though you'll hear that when you go to the airport or when you're on a plane, they'll say federal law requires that masks must be worn at all times. There is no federal law. Law has to be passed. A law can only be made by the legislative branch. Biden decreeing something is not a law. Now, can a president issue an executive order? Yes, they can. They can issue an executive order, but it only applies to the executive branch, to his administration. It doesn't apply to the entire United States. It doesn't apply to private citizens. So why so many of these companies are going along with it, why people comply with it, I don't know. Now, I'll admit, when I go to the airport, I wear a mask, because if you don't, they'll remove you, and then you can't get to your destination. So instead of going through all that, I wear the mask, but I'll tell you what, it is not because I want to, and it's not because I am complying with them. It's because they force you to, and I would say illegally. I would so love to see somebody challenge that, get arrested, and then file lawsuit against this Biden regime, against the airport or airline that enforced it, and get this and see this that it's overturned. That would be fantastic. But he's going to extend it. It was due wearing these stupid masks, which, by the way, are not effective at all. Most viruses, including the COVID-19 virus, is the size of 1 micron. And these masks can only filter out particles that are 8 microns in size. So anything smaller than 8 microns, it goes right through the mask. And we know that the virus is 1 micron, 8 times smaller than what the masks are even able to filter out. So people are walking around with these masks on as if they actually help the situation, and they do not. They do not at all. I have proof of that myself. Here I am in my office, my business, and people will come in with a mask on, and with the mask on, they may be chewing gum, and I can smell the gum. Or they may have had a cigarette before they came in. And then as they're sitting down, I can smell the smoke. The mask is not filtering even their breath that is coming out, much less a virus of 1 micron. So he's going to extend this mask mandate through mid-March. And knowing this goofy Biden regime, they're going to move it again. Just like now they're saying to be fully vaccinated, you must have the booster shot as well, which is utter nonsense, because we're also seeing that those who are coming down with these new cases of COVID and its variants are those who were fully vaccinated. In other words, had already had 2 of those jabs into their arm. And with all the complications that go along with that, including deaths and adverse reactions, I don't know why anyone would get those shots. I simply would not, and certainly not for your children. They're now saying that they're going to approve shots for those between the ages of 5 and 12 years old. Why? When the disease itself, by the way, COVID is real, it's a disease, when the disease itself barely affects young children, and those who are affected by it recover very quickly, there is no need for these children to take these shots and risk what may happen to them, including death, after taking these shots. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join in the discussion, call-in number is 904-831-0917. With either your comments or your questions, call in at 904-831-0917. Okay, I'm going to be reading now from an article that was in the Mises Institute about a week ago. And the title of it is, "We've only just begun to see the benefits of the new surge in homeschooling." I agree with that 100%. The article begins by saying, "Parents across America were caught unprepared for the mass closure of government schools in 2020. Soon after, however, many decided they and their children had had enough of the status quo. Now at a crossroads, will they choose reform or repudiation? The wave of ill-advised school shutdowns last year compelled tens of thousands of parents to rethink their children's education. When the classroom was virtually forced into their homes via Zoom, parents realized just how abysmal the curricula and tutelage were." So the author of this, her name is Alice Sauls, says that the school shutdowns were ill-advised. And I agree. They did not need to shut down those schools. Again, it was proven that children, number one, were not passing the virus on to adults, and that in those rare cases when children did contract the virus, the disease, that they recovered very quickly, and usually in 3 to 5 days, and their symptoms are relatively mild. So why that they thought that they needed to close the schools, that was utter nonsense, but they did it, and it backfired on them. Going back to the article, statistics on families fleeing to homeschooling must be worrying the education establishment. From 2012 to 2019, the homeschooling rate hovered around 3.3% for K through 12 U.S. students. That figure rose to 5.4% in spring 2020. By the following fall, that figure had more than doubled to 11.1%. So by the fall of 2020, those who are homeschooling had risen to 11.1% from a pre-COVID case of 3.3%, almost four times the number of parents decided that they were going to homeschool. And this next statistic is amazing. Among Black families, the increase was particularly noteworthy, considering only 3.3% of Black children were homeschooled in spring 2020 versus 16.1% in the fall, a five-fold increase. And while legacy media, that's the left-wing media, focused on cases of parents keeping their kids home out of fear of COVID, longtime critics of the public school system argued that the pandemic actually helped to expose parents to the abuses and shortcomings that have long plagued public education. Some choose homeschooling, but many others took to school board meetings, facing the beast head on and ripping apart the deceptive social engineering with the public comment microphone. All the glory, glitz, and glam has so far gone to the latter group. So these parents were showing up and still are showing up at these school board meetings demanding why these school systems are teaching their children nonsense, such as critical race theory and transgenderism and other nonsense, and how they are degrading our Constitution and the American way of life, and instead of focusing on reading, writing, math, and history, that they are doing all this social engineering. And here are parents who are showing up in droves at these school board meetings, making their voices heard as they justifiably should be, making their voices heard. The school boards then became afraid and went so far as to get the National Association of School Boards to get the Department of Justice, and that secretary being Merrick Garland, to get the FBI to declare that these parents who show up at these meetings are domestic terrorists and to arrest them. Utterly insane. But parents are brave, and they are showing up anyway. Here they are. Here's what's insane about Garland and the Department of Justice. They call parents simply because that they are concerned about how their children are being taught, call them domestic terrorists, but they will not call Antifa domestic terrorists and will instead allow them to tear down a city like Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, or other places, will allow them to tear a city down, burn it to the ground, and won't go after them, but they'll go after a mother and a father who says, why are you teaching my children this nonsense? And again, it's because COVID exposed parents to what was going on. Okay, back to the article. Some choose homeschooling, but many other parents, they grew a decentralized movement with immediate political consequences, not only in Virginia's gubernatorial election, but also in school board races across the country earlier this month. Axios, the popular D.C.-based news outlet run by former political journalists, recently reported on the growth of the 1776 Project, a new political action committee focused on reforming public school systems at the local level. Here he is speaking. My PAC is campaigning on behalf of everyday moms and dads who want to have better access to their children's education. That's the PAC's founder, Ryan Gerdusky, told Axios. The 1776 Project won 3/4 of its 58 races across 7 states, providing the populist rights culture focus on the culture wars to be smart politicking. New Republicans in Congress are pushing a parents' bill of rights ahead of their 2022 primary elections. Included are so-called rights to know what's taught at school, the right to be heard, and a right to transparent school budgets and spending. Let me, as an aside, not reading from the article now, it's amazing that something as basic as that has to be stated in the first place, that parents have to have a bill of rights demanding that they know what's taught at school. The parents are paying for it. They're paying for it out of their property taxes. They're paying for those schools, and it's not cheap. And so for them to have the right to know what's being taught, a right to be heard, and how the money's being spent, why does that have to be a demanded right? It just should exist anyway. Okay, this list of rights will make clear to parents what their rights are and clear to schools what their duties to parents are. The reform position focuses on schools' duty to parents and ipso facto their children. But what of the duties parents owe to their children? What if, instead of pointing their collective finger at the school boards, parents looked in the mirror? What if they asked themselves how or why they feel entitled to have a place to drop their kids off for 13 years of government brainwashing? Let me read that question again. What if they asked themselves how or why they feel entitled to have a place to drop their kids off for 13 years of government brainwashing? That's the truth, that they feel entitled that they should be able to do that. Any taxpayer has a perfect reason to object to school mask mandates or to teaching of racist and queer ideologies. Parents must start thinking more deeply about the situation, though. Certainly for some, running for school board positions is their best shot at helping to provide their children and their neighbors' children with better education. The problem is that in too many places, there's an absolute crisis in education that can't wait any longer for reform, no matter how severe. The article goes on to say, every family and community ultimately applies the Catholic principle of subsidiarity, the notion that the best way to organize society is for each action or decision to be taken at the smallest scale necessary in assessing what must be done about things such as education. By simply refusing to accept what federal or state authorities peddled throughout 2020, parents rightfully accepted more responsibility, clearly demonstrated that when things get personal, people will do what it takes to take back control. Whatever step in that direction is taken, the child is better off. Indeed. Unfortunately, far too few parents think of themselves as qualified to be able to homeschool their children, much less the best qualified educators of their children. They're easily led to believe simple reforms will fix the system they grew up dependent upon as children themselves. We always hear, oh, it's broken. It's not broken. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do, Katie Pipps Hogue told the Mises Institute supporters at the latest summit in Florida last month. In other words, she's saying that the system is not broken. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. Hogue shared her experience homeschooling her 7 kids and encouraged other parents to give it a try, essentially asking, what have you got to lose? Absolutely. Parents, what have you got to lose? That instead of sending your kids off to these indoctrination camps where they're being taught all kinds of nonsense, why not do it yourself? You can do a much better job. Here's what Katie Phipps Hogue went on to say at this summit in Florida last month. I know this sounds like I'm a crazy person, but if you pulled your children out of school for a whole year, then included them in everything that you do and all your trips and all of your conversations, put them around the intelligent, capable people that you all have in your circles, and let them become more comfortable around those people, you probably do better for them than maybe anything else you could do. Now, that's her opinion. Now, not everyone is able to pull their children out of school and have their children follow them around everywhere they go. Some parents, because a mother and a father are both working, must send their children to school, or it's a single mom, she must send her children to school because she has to go to work. And that is understandable. It is. But there is also a choice that parents can make. Let's say it's an intact home, a mother and a father, and they have made the choice that the mother must also work to make ends meet. That's not necessarily the case. The choice could be instead the mother can stay home, raise the children, or the father could stay home and raise the children, and then they do with just a little bit less in terms of material things that they want. Do you necessarily have to have a 55-inch TV? Does everyone in the home have to have a cell phone? Do you have to have so many cars in the driveway? Those are choices that are being made. And we are seeing now a phenomenon where more and more are making the choice that they might give up some material things, that instead that they are going to homeschool their children. What are your thoughts on that? If you would like to share, call in at 904-831-0917. Now, back to the article. It's wonderful that the populist movement on the right is targeting the educational bureaucracy, one of the great roots of societal decay. That is the truth. There is a lot of potential for good in populism, but not if it sets its sights on mere reforms. A much brighter future lies in a libertarian populism where parents free themselves from these decrepit stated systems altogether and grow alternative institutions. Parents must be responsible for their children's education precisely so that children learn to be autonomous. Autonomous people don't support tyrannical policies, so the parents free themselves from that. And the sooner that parents embrace their own power, the sooner their children will be able to unleash their own. Amen. Great article that was written in the Mises Institute. Here is something that I think that I was able to, God was gracious and I was blessed to send all 3 of my children, they're all grown now, to private Christian schools. I loved my children too much to send them to public school. And while I was paying for them to go to these private Christian schools, I was still paying for public education. It was to the tune of $5,000 a year coming out of my property taxes that I was paying for that. not only property taxes from my home, $5,000, but property taxes from my business too, which was another like $3,500 that I was paying. So altogether, I'm paying almost $9,000 a year for a abysmal education system that my children did not even participate in. My children went to private school. I believe that the dollars are going to the wrong place. Instead of the dollars going to the school system and administration, the dollars should be going to the parents or to the child and let them choose where they want their children to go. We have so many different options, especially here in Florida, where you can homeschool, you can internet school, you can charter schools. All are available. There's private schools that are available, and that money should go to the parents so that the parents can make that choice. When those choices are made, that means there is competition, and that will force our decrepit public school system to either perform better or to go away. And that is exactly how it should be done. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my honor today to host the show for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. My name is Mike Hill. I'm a former congressman from the Panhandle in Florida, and that's where I reside right now. I want to encourage you, as I always do at the end of Dr. Youngblood's show, that even though we discuss many items that are facing us and there are problems that are facing us, we know that we have a God who is on the throne, who is in charge. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.